The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on September 19, 1997, in Moscow.
I would like to thank all of you who are such dear and exalted devotees for coming this evening to give me your association. Tomorrow, by the arrangement of the Lord, I will be returning to India in very early morning. So this is my last opportunity to have the fortune of being with all of you. This wonderful temple and all wonderful devotees will always remain a very important part of my heart. Srila Prabhupada's very causeless mercy upon me has given me the chance to come and try to offer some service to all of you. And for this I will be eternally grateful to my beloved spiritual master. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What shall I speak tonight?
It's up to you. Whatever you speak is sweet like nectar.
You are very expert at inducing me to be happy. Parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu nabhinashyate. This is 8:20. Krishna is here explaining the difference between material nature and spiritual nature. Material nature is always changing. Everything is in the process of dying. Lord Brahma lives a lifespan of 311 trillion and 40 billion years. And yet this entire life of Brahma is hardly one breath of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is but an expansion of 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 the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is playing with cowherd boys and cows in Goloka Vrindavan. So when we hear the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, we should understand the transcendental nature of these pastimes. Sometimes people, they think that when Krishna is stealing butter, that he is just an ordinary thief. But Krishna is the proprietor of everything. That little baby crawling around and stealing butter from gopis, his insignificant manifestation within this material existence is the Virat Rupa. When Arjuna asked to see the universal form, he saw a form that had unlimited heads and hands and legs. And this form was so big that no one could see where it begins and where it ends. And even the greatest, most powerful kings and conquerors of the world were being devoured by the mouths of this form. Then that form began to speak that I am time devouring everything. So Krishna explains Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that he is the proprietor of everything that exists. And as the proprietor of everything, in his energy, as time, he is reclaiming everything that he allows us to use for some time. In this way, through time, we can understand that Krishna is actually the proprietor of everything. So therefore, when little baby Krishna is stealing butter, he's not actually a thief, because he is the proprietor of everything. but he appears to do it in the guise of a little thief just to give pleasure to his devotees. Arjuna was not seeing pleasure when he was seeing the Virat Roop reclaiming everything. He was experiencing fear. But when we think of little baby Krishna stealing butter from the rafters of Yashoda and then running from her when she comes chasing after him, and then crying, weeping, and trembling in fear, saying, "Mother, I did it, I did it, I confess, I did it, please don't punish me." This pastime is meant to steal the hearts of the devotees. Prabhupada said, when our hearts become soft like butter, then Krishna, the butter thief, will steal our hearts. But due to material attachments, our heart has become very hard. Selfishness makes our heart hard. But by engaging in service to Vaishnavas and chanting the holy names of Krishna and hearing the wonderful pastimes and teachings of Krishna, our heart will melt by the natural arrangement of the Lord. And when the heart becomes very soft, Krishna steals it. How does he steal it? By attracting it always to his loving service. So we may think we are very great in this world. We may think, I am learned, and I am strong, I have some money, I am beautiful, I can influence others, and I am very expert at what I do. One time a devotee made a big mistake, and he came to Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, I am the most fallen." And Prabhupada knew this person was proud. Prabhupada said, "You are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. Lord Brahma, he has four heads and they're always chanting Vedic mantras. He has such a big family that every living entity within the universe is his great-grandchildren. He lives in the best house in all the universe. And even the demons can never attack his planet. And he lives 311 trillion and 40 billion human years." So one time this Brahma went to visit Krishna in Dwarka. And Brahma told Krishna's gatekeeper that tell Krishna that Brahma has come to see him. So Krishna sent his messenger back to ask, "Which Brahma?" And Brahma was thinking, what kind of question is this, which Brahma? Tell him the Brahma with four heads who's the Lord of the universe. So then Lord Krishna called for so many other Brahmas to come. And then he said, "Brahma can come in." And when he came in, he saw some Brahmas had eight heads. Some had 16 heads. Some 32 heads. Some 64 heads. Some had hundreds of heads. Some had thousands of heads. Some had millions of heads. Some had tens and millions of heads. And Brahma only had four. And he felt like a little insect in a herd of elephants. And all these millions of Brahmas with millions of heads were bowing down all their heads with their crowns at the feet of Krishna. And Krishna was asking them, "How is everything in your universe? I will protect you from the demons. Now you go back." And they all, with folded hands, they went back to the universe. And then our Brahma understood how insignificant he was. Now, in material psychiatry and psychology, people feel this is a very bad thing to think yourself insignificant. Material counselors will always be trying to put you under the illusion that you are very great. You have so much to be proud of. Be proud. But devotees understand that we have something very much to be proud of, that our Lord is Krishna. And the more humble we become, the more we can understand how glorious is Krishna. And Krishna's glory is unlimited. So when we take our happiness in His glory, our happiness becomes unlimited. If we repose our love in Krishna, our love becomes unlimited. So Krishna is explaining here that this material nature, everything is limited, everything is temporary, everything is ultimately frustrating. Some of you have young bodies, and we're trying to keep it very nice so that we can enjoy. We try to put nice sounds through our ears, put nice sights into our eyes, and try to scrape our tongue with nice tastes. And we try to rub some nice touches against our skin. And we're thinking, let me enjoy. But actually, these bodies, in a few short years, they will become so old and so full of disease and so full of pain. In fact, it can all come upon us within a moment. So human life is meant to understand that there is another nature beyond this temporary nature that is all destined to death. It is the spiritual nature, Krishna's own internal potency. And the only means by which we can enter into this spiritual nature is through devotional service. Because bhakti is the greatest, most priceless gift that Krishna gives to anyone. Great wealth is to have something that can purchase something valuable. The most valuable thing is eternal bliss and love for God. And only bhakti can purchase that. Therefore, bhakti is the greatest wealth. Therefore, Krishna does not give bhakti to just anyone. Because if you have bhakti, Krishna, by his own will, becomes subordinate to your love. He gives bhakti to those who become the very dear servant of his servants. And we should be very eager for that. We should keep our minds fixed on that goal throughout our life. And together, we should encourage each other more and more and more to increase our eagerness for devotional service. There is a nice story I would like to share with you, which displays how the Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocates with the joint eagerness of his devotees. Lord Chaitanya lived in Navadvip for approximately 24 years. And while he was there, so many people became devotees and joined his Harinam Sankirtan party. But others who were too proud of their learning or their wealth or their high position in society, they did not accept his mercy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to capture them, he took sannyas. And he went to live in Jagannath Puri. And one day he decided he would go to Vrindavan and Mathura. So many people were following with him. But somehow he escaped from everyone. And only with a few of his associates, he came to Navadvip. And there he went to the house of Vidyavachaspati, who was the son of Visharada and the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya told Vidyavachaspati that I am on my way to Vrindavan, but I have decided to stay for a few days secretly to take bath in the river Ganges. Vidyavachaspati was so happy. He said, "This is my great fortune. Today my home, my family, my very life have become perfect because you have come to accept my service in my home." A devotee understands that the perfection of life is to have the chance to completely offer everything in the service of the Lord. He said, "My Lord, my home, my family, my wealth, my mind, my body, my everything belongs to you. Thank you so much for coming and accepting my offering." But how long can the sun remain undetected? Very, very quickly the news spread that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned to Navadvip. The crest jewel of all sannyasis, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has descended to reclaim all fallen souls and give them love of Krishna, and he has returned. Everyone wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. People just began to run to the house of Vidyavachasam. All the 10 directions. There were hundreds of people, then thousands of people, then there were millions of people, all running. People left their homes, their families, they forgot they even had bodies. Just thinking that they would see Lord Chaitanya and receive his mercy, they became completely detached from everything of this world. And as they were running, the whole roads were so filled with people that there was no room, so people started running through the jungles. And even though people were running through thorns in the ground and thorns in the trees, no one even thought that they had any pain. And soon even the jungles became a beautiful road. And all these millions of people, as they were running, they were speaking to each other. When I see the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, I will beg him for the benediction that let me never forget this sight for the rest of my life. And others were saying, I will pray to the Lord, let me never forget you, let me give my life and soul to please you. And others were saying, my son is a gambler, please make him a devotee. In this way, everyone who was running, just at the thought of seeing Lord Chaitanya, everyone's desires became completely pure. And just know that they were going to see Lord Chaitanya, that eagerness to see him purified them so much, they all became so intimate that they were all embracing each other with great ecstatic love. And they came to the river Ganges. In India, even to this day, hardly anyone knows how to swim. It's not part of their culture to learn swimming. Just a couple of years ago, we went to Jagannath Puri with about 400 devotees from Bombay. Bombay's right on the ocean. Everyone lives next to the ocean. So I asked, let us go in the water. And everyone was looking at me, very fearful. And out of the 400 devotees, I said, how many know how to swim? And everyone looked at the sand. And two or three people raised their hand. One was an officer in the Indian Navy. So somehow he learned how to swim in his life. Now he's a brahmachari in our ashram. His name is Devananda Pandit. And I told him, you were in the Navy, going on these big battleships. Oh, you are on Prabhupada's battleship. And this battleship, it will take us all across the ocean of material existence back to the shores of the spiritual world. In fact, he's in charge of our book distribution at Radha Gopinath. Instead of shooting cannonballs, he's shooting Prabhupada's books, destroying all Maya's forces. So when all of these people came to the Ganges, all of a sudden, millions of people arrived at the Ganges. Ganga is very wide and very deep and flows very fast. So there were boats to take people across. And within seconds, people were so eager to go to see Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, that thousands of people within seconds jumped on every boat. And each of the boats just completely fell to pieces. And the people, whatever little extra clothes they had, they gave to the boatman. And then they, somehow or other, they had to cross the Ganga. So some of them took clay pots and held it to their chests to float across. And others took the trunks of banana trees and held on to those and to float across. And others, even though they never knew swimming in their life, they were just so eager to see Lord Chaitanya, they just started swimming. And somehow all of these millions and millions of people all crossed the river Ganges, and not a single person died or became even inconvenienced. If you are eager to serve the Lord and eager to see the Lord, no material impediment can stop you. Sometimes we have seen devotees who are very eager to distribute books. They can just say things and do things to convince anybody to accept. And sometimes when we're eager to preach, all of a sudden, just things come out of our mouth that we don't even know. It completely attracts people's hearts. We have all had this experience. When you are eager for Krishna consciousness, some divine powerment of Guru and Gauranga just makes everything possible. One time, Prabhupada asked a devotee to do something. And devotee said, Prabhupada, that is impossible. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. For a devotee who is eager to serve Krishna, nothing is impossible. When Prabhupada was going to America and he asked Sumati Murarji for a boat ticket on Jaladuta, he said, "I am going to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world." She said, "Swamiji, it is impossible." Similarly, when Srila Prabhupada's godbrother was in England, he was speaking to a very highly cultured man, the Marquis of Jutland. And he was a very, very good friend of devotees. And he said, "Can you make me a Brahmin Vaishnav?" And he was told, "Yes, you just chant Hare Krishna and follow these regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating." And Lord Jutland said, "Impossible." When Prabhupada was coming to Moscow, I'm sure his godbrothers, when he was going here, he was coming here to spread Krishna consciousness in Russia. Everyone said, "Swamiji, impossible." But because of his eagerness by the power of Krishna, the impossible becomes possible. And because Srila Prabhupada dared to make the impossible happen, we have all come together in this room to chant the holy names and purify our hearts and achieve love of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki! So when all these millions of people crossed the Ganges, they all started jumping around and embracing. "We crossed the Ganges." What to speak of crossing the Ganges? One who remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead with faith and devotion can cross over the entire ocean of material existence. They all continued running till they came to the house of Vidyavachaspati. And they all started falling at the lotus feet of Vidyavachaspati. With so much eagerness to see the Lord, they were praying, "Please let us go and serve the Lord. Please let us see the Lord. Where is the Lord?" When Vidyavachaspati saw how anxious everyone was to meet Lord Chaitanya, tears of love and compassion for all of them began to flow from his eyes. He brought them to the house Lord Chaitanya was staying. And all at once, millions of people were chanting as loud as they could the holy names of Krishna. They were chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And the sound was so tumultuous that it could be heard from Brahmaloka down to Pataloloka. And this kirtan was getting louder and louder and louder. And everyone was dancing in ecstatic love, just chanting the holy names, trying to attract Lord Chaitanya to come. When devotees sincerely come together to loudly chant the holy names in great affection for each other and devotion to God, the Lord appears. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu heard the holy names of Lord Hari resounding in all directions, he became so pleased he began to smile. He came out of the house, and like the beautiful, beautiful sun, he gave his most illustrious darshan to all. And when all the people saw the beautiful, smiling face of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, everyone just started offering dandavat obeisances again and again and again at his lotus feet. And they prayed, "Oh my Lord, we are the most sinful. We are the most offensive. We did not know who you are, and we have offended you in so many ways, and we have addicted ourselves to so many sins. Please deliver us and give us your mercy." When Lord Chaitanya saw them all so humbly begging for mercy, his beautiful arms, which were like two golden pillars that extended below his knees, he raised them up above his heads. Then he gave them all the supreme benediction. He instructed everyone, "Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear the names and glories of Krishna. Give this message of Krishna to others. Krishna is your real wealth. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your very life breath. Krishna is your very life and soul." Everyone, chant the holy names of Krishna. And upon getting this benediction, everyone began to chant the holy names in kirtan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon seeing this, began to dance. And everyone was dancing. There was actually thousands of kirtan parties. Everyone was chanting and chanting, and everyone was filled with love. Everyone's minds were simply fixed on the holy name and the beautiful darshan of Gauranga. Then Lord Chaitanya disappeared. Without saying anything to anyone, he secretly left that place and went to a place called Kulianagar. When Mahaprabhu disappeared, everyone was just searching, where is he, where is he? And they asked Vidyavachaspati, where is the Lord? And he was looking everywhere. He said, I do not know, he's left. And then some of the people came to Vidyavachaspati and said, I know that you know where he is. I'm all alone and I won't tell anyone, but take me to the Lord. And other people came and started touching his feet. Said, I am your good friend. Do you remember all the nice things I have done? Take me to see the Lord. We know that you know where he is. Vidyavachaspati said, no, no, I don't know. And soon thousands and thousands of people were touching his feet and saying, please bring us to the Lord, show us the Lord. And after some time, everyone was speaking harshly against him. They were saying that this Vidyavachaspati, he's not a good Brahmin. He has a hard heart. He is cruel and he has cheated us. He is not happy if we get liberated. He's only happy if only he gets liberated. Therefore, he is hiding the Lord for himself only. Saintly people do not do this. Saintly people are willing to do anything for others. Even in an ordinary person, if he gets many sweetmeats, he'll distribute it. He doesn't eat them all himself. Lord Chaitanya is the sweetest of all things, but he wants to keep him all for himself. He doesn't care whether we go to hell. On one hand, Vidyavachaspati was tormented by the pain of separation from Lord Chaitanya, and on the other side, he was being harassed by everyone. Millions and millions and millions of people were just condemning him. Sometimes devotees are put into these predicaments. And then a Brahmin whispered in Vidyavachaspati's ear, the Lord has gone to Kulianagar. Now, what will you do? So Vidyavachaspati said, the Lord is in Kulianagar. Let us go there to see him. By this time, there were millions more people. And they all started running, and they had to go back to the Ganges. And people just, somehow or other, they just started going across. There were boats filled with so many people that the boats just began to sink in the middle of the Ganges. Yeah. Because everyone was going to see Lord Chaitanya. Just as the boat was about to sink, land came up. And it's became on the land in the middle of the river. Somehow or other, everyone got across, and Vidyavachaspati began to desperately search for Lord Chaitanya. And he found him, and he said, my Lord, you have descended to deliver the most sinful. You have descended to give everyone love of God. Please save me from all these devotees. They are all thinking I am cruel and I am hiding you. So Lord Chaitanya came out of the house, and everyone began to chant the holy name so loudly. And everyone wanted to see the Lord. There were so many people that all the village was completely covered with human bodies. The river Ganges was completely covered with human body. And all of the agricultural fields were completely covered with human body. And people were so eager to have a better look at Lord Chaitanya that sometimes thousands of people at a time were trying to climb up the same tree. And sometimes tens and thousands of people would get on one little roof. By the power of the Lord, the house did not collapse. And the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he raised his arms and told everyone, chant the holy names of Krishna. And with great ecstasy, everyone loudly chanted the holy name with raised arms. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to see all these kirtan parties chanting and dancing that Lord Chaitanya could not stay away from all these devotees. He and Lord Nityananda Prabhu jumped down into one kirtan after another. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu began to embrace one another with great ecstasy. And then they both began to dance. And as they were dancing, they were just giving their love, showering their love upon all of these devotees. The most beautiful manifestation of the Lord's mercy is the beautiful dancing of Gaur Nitai. And in this way, they plunged all of these fortunate souls in the ocean of Krishna Prema. So we should learn from this story how we can cross over all obstacles and achieve the most precious mercy of the Lord if together we are simply eager to serve Him. Kondiya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says, my devotees who are surrendered to me, I will always protect them. In 1973, when there were only a few hundred devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada said, if the devotees we have now just had complete faith that Krishna will always protect us, if we just had complete faith in the power of the holy name, we could take over the world in 18 days and make it Krishna conscious. Devotees simply want to see everyone happy in loving service to Krishna. That is our greatest goal in life. And as the saying goes, charity begins at home. The best charity is to give the happiness of Krishna consciousness. And how much we should be trying to share this happiness and joy with all of our devotees. One time I was at a temple in America, and I was talking to a guest. And this guest said to me, I will remain a guest for the rest of my life. And I said, why do you want to remain a guest for the rest of your life? He said, when I'm a guest, everyone's so nice to me at the temple. But when I see how devotees treat each other, I'm thinking, they'll love me more if I remain a guest. So this is not Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna says in Gita that one who encourages devotees with this message of Krishna consciousness is most dear to me. And no one will ever be more dear to me than him. So let us make it a great priority to make sure we each and every one of us, from the GBC to the guru to the president to the temple commander to the department head to the cook and the pujari to the new bhakta and bhaktin to the gurukula children, let everyone take as their responsibility to somehow or other encourage devotees and do whatever we have to do to make them happy in Krishna consciousness. And what makes devotees happy in Krishna consciousness? Not watching television, not talking about politics, not talking gossip or rumors about other devotees. This makes us miserable. What makes us happy in Krishna consciousness is wonderful kirtans. Always telling each other about Krishna and Krishna's service. Always inspiring one another to be a better devotee and to have more faith in Guru and Krishna. And in every possible way, try to show our love for each other by serving each other. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in a Guru Puja in Mayapur. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees from all over the world playing mridangas and kartals with their arms raised, chanting the glories of Srila Prabhupada. And people were offering him garland after garland, and people were showering him with flower petals and offering their dandavat obeisances. And Srila Prabhupada saw one disciple who came up to offer flowers, and he had an infection on his foot. And Srila Prabhupada called him over. He said, please tell me what happened to your foot. Is it causing you pain? What medicine are you putting on it? And then Prabhupada took out some rupees from his pocket and said, you buy this medicine and you apply it to your foot, and tomorrow you tell me how it is. In the midst of this glorious Guru Puja, Prabhupada is just concerned with one devotee's benefit. And this devotee, even 25 years later today, when he thinks of this story, his eyes weep with love for Prabhupada. what he would do to show his love for the devotees. I met one of my god sisters. She told me Prabhupada was coming out of the temple after Bhagavatam class. And she was far away holding a little baby. And all big sannyasis and people were crowding around Prabhupada. And he called this lady, and everyone made way. She was very embarrassed. And Prabhupada asked, "What is the name of your baby? Is your baby in good health? Are you taking nice care of your baby? And how do you feel after giving birth to baby?" She said, "The remembrance of this has kept her in Krishna consciousness for the next last 25. How could we ever leave such a master like this?" And although Prabhupada kept everything very purely according to the highest philosophy, his gentle and humble desire to serve Vaishnavas was unlimited. And this is how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be with one another. You can show your love for me by how you cooperate. Cooperate doesn't simply mean not to fight. Cooperate means to actually, in a loving spirit, make selfless services to encourage, to inspire, and to care for devotees. And when devotees are like this with each other, when they come together for a kirtan, do you know how sweet and how powerful that kirtan will be? When we have these relationships with each other, Vaishnav Seva, then Krishna will certainly descend within the hearts of all of the devotees when we come together for kirtan. Therefore, Gauranga Mahaprabhu explained, in this age of Kali Yuga, there are only two religious principles: the chanting of the holy names of Krishna and service to the Lord's devotee. And when we live by this principle, then we will want to fearlessly go out and preach and spread this message and invite everyone to come and live by these principles. And then our life will be perfect. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Would anyone like to ask a question? Yes, Prabhu.
How our service to our equals and the younger devotees should manifest?
Srimad Bhagavatam explains, for those who are superior to us, we should serve them by hearing from them submissively, and we should worship the Guru, we should worship Krishna, and we should actually worship those great devotees who are giving us Krishna and giving us the message of Krishna. And we should always be anxious to hear from them and to follow their good instructions. And devotees who are equal with us, we should serve them by becoming intimate friends with them. Rupa Goswami explains 6 loving exchanges between friends. In a very Krishna-conscious way, to reveal your heart very confidentially and hear another reveal his heart confidentially, with a desire to help each other, to encourage each other, to serve each other. And we should give prasad, and we should receive prasad from our friends. It is a means of expressing our love. And we should give gifts and receive gifts from our friend. The greatest gift is Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan and Hari Seva. And for those who are in a position of newer devotees than us, we should be like their guardian, like their father or mother or elder brother. We should help that devotee in every possible way by our good example, to show them what is Krishna consciousness. By encouraging them, by helping them overcome their problems. But we should be the servant of every devotee. Yeah. And to the innocent people who are not devotees, we should serve them by giving them Prabhupada's books, by giving them prasadam, by giving them Hari Katha, by giving them a nice devotional atmosphere to come to. And for people who are antagonistic and atheistic, we should be their humble servant by defeating them. And if we cannot defeat them, we should be their servant by avoiding them. In this way we should be the humble servant of every living entity.